Hey, everybody, a wonderful conversation with Tulsi Gabbard. I ask her, would she be Trump's VP? What does she believe? She has a new book that is powerful. It's very, very important about leaving the Democrat Party. We talk about Bernie Sanders, superdelegates, and more. Here is my challenge for you. Text this episode to a couple of your Democrat friends. Just send it around. This is a persuasive and powerful episode. So please share it with your friends. Tulsi Gabbard for the full hour. Become a member. It's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and come to our People's Convention in Detroit, tpaction.com/peoples, tpaction.com/peoples. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of The Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
Super thrilled with our guest this hour. It is Tulsi Gabbard, a great American patriot, author of the new book that everyone should buy, and I love it, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. And Tulsi is with us now. Tulsi, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Charlie. It's great to see you.
Thank you. So tell us about the book, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Tell us all about it.
You know, I got to be honest, the working title was For Love of Country, Why I Left the Democrat Party. And just before the book went to print, I was like, you know what? Now is the time for a direct call to action. And I went with that more direct route, because as you'll see throughout the book, it's not only sharing my own experiences of having been in the Democrat Party for 20 years and really why I left, each chapter dedicated to one of the major reasons why. But now is a time for action. I detail in the book about how the Democrat elite are undermining our fundamental rights and freedoms. They are trying to erase God from every facet of our public life. They are undermining our civil liberties and weaponizing our Department of Justice against their political opponents, not only Donald Trump, but everyday Americans who dare to challenge their power, dare to go and speak the truth, dare to exercise their First Amendment rights and freedoms of expression. They're doing all of this in their agreed and pursuit of power. They are terrified of a free people and a free society. And we're seeing this play out right now in more brazen ways than I've ever experienced or seen in my lifetime. And this is why the timing of this book is so important, because there are a lot of people out there who maybe are still Democrats or have left the Democrat Party, people who are unaffiliated with either party. Gallup poll recently showed 43% of Americans are unaffiliated, or people who are just frustrated with politics in general. My message is to understand the threats to all Americans' fundamental rights and freedoms, and remind ourselves of our responsibility as citizens of this country to ensure we have a government of, by, and for the people, and to ensure we have people in power who actually respect and will uphold those rights and freedoms.
That is beautifully said. And by the way, congratulations on being a New York Times bestselling author. They say that you're number four on the list, which means you're actually number one on the list, something I know very well. They've gamed that thing. So if you're number one and you really kill it, they'll put you two or three or four if you're not ideologically in harmony. So that means you're actually number one, Tulsi. So Tulsi, I want to go back.
Good to know.
I want to go back in time. I remember witnessing this as a young political activist, and I was just a fan of yours, even though we weren't necessarily on the same team. When you endorsed Bernie Sanders and you were vice chair of the DNC, I don't want to speak for you, but was this part of your process to realize the Democrat Party has become a anti-democratic oligarchy? Can you tell our audience this story? Because you were vice chair of the DNC. Some would say you were a darling of the Democrat Party. What happened?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because on its surface level, people might not really understand why I made that decision. A lot of Democrats didn't know why I made that decision to resign as vice chair of the DNC and endorse Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton, and others even now. They're like, Tulsi, I don't get it. How could you support a guy like Bernie Sanders? But the reality is that I think you saw at that time was twofold. Yes, as a vice chair of the DNC, I saw very clearly how Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the chair of the DNC at the time, was making unilateral decisions. Often as vice chairs, we would find out her decisions via tweet or press release. So no conversation or consultation in any way, but how she was tilting the scales for Hillary Clinton, along with so many of their friends in the mainstream media, trying to make it as easy as possible for Hillary to get the nomination, for her to become president, and not have to answer for her foreign policy record. You'll remember, Charlie, how during that whole time, in the lead up to that election, she was touted almost universally by the mainstream media as the most qualified person ever to run for president of the United States, ever in our country's history. And people said this with a straight face, and I didn't get it. I couldn't understand how they could make that statement, and how they could make that statement without any justification or qualifiers. Yeah, okay, so she's had all these different titles, got it. But what did she actually do? What was the result of her being in these positions, her decisions, her recommendations, the things she was pushing as Secretary of State under President Obama? When you actually look at her record, it's atrocious. She is, and rightfully so, as I called her out for being the queen of warmongers. And so I saw, and this was the real reason why I stepped down as vice chair to endorse Bernie Sanders, was around this issue of foreign policy. She is the queen of warmongers. Bernie Sanders, on the issue of foreign policy, not all the time, but he tends to lean in a more non-interventionist direction. I knew that if I did this, then I would have a platform to be able to do my part as an American, as a veteran, as a service member, to go out and make the case to the American people and tell them the truth about how dangerous Hillary Clinton would be as president and commander in chief, and actually hold her to account for her record. Because nobody else in Democrat politics was doing it, and people in the mainstream media certainly were not.
So I want to dive deeper into this, though. And by the way, I hold nothing against, you know, as conservative, I always kind of really respected the Bernie Sanders protest vote. I thought it was healthy and honest. Joe Rogan, for example, I thought it was intellectually brave. There's some things that I agreed with Bernie on and some things I think he was a raving lunatic on. But I mean, it's fine. I mean, that's kind of what makes elections interesting and fun. I believe he actually won the nomination in 16. He won it. If it wasn't for this rigged process, is that a fair
The superdelegates.
Yes. I think this is important. The Democrat Party has this oligarchy, and they're live action role playing as like democracy defenders, but they have this philosopher king and queen ruling class that essentially overturns the rule of the people. And I don't know how many rank and file Democrats actually understand this. Can we go deep into this?
Because it's relevant still to what's happening now. What we saw in 2016 was that, you know, Bernie Sanders started to catch fire as a candidate in the primary. Really, that primary ended up being between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. The fact that he was able to raise money by every, you know, $27 to compete and even outraise Hillary Clinton's multi-million dollar fundraisers was quite a statement about what a thriving and engaged democracy can accomplish. And so as he went state by state, ultimately coming to that convention, the Democrat elite, and this is the difference that I make in my book. I'm very intentional in drawing a distinction between the Democrat elite and rank and file Democrats, many of whom I know across the country are disgusted to see what the Biden-Harris administration is doing to our country today. But the Democrat elite are these people who were saying, even leading up to the convention that year, that there was no way that Bernie Sanders would win because they would block him, that their votes carry more weight
yes.
than the votes and voices of everyday Democrats across the country who were making a very loud statement about the change that they wanted to see in our country and how they knew that Hillary Clinton was not good for the country. And so that's exactly what happened. The superdelegates showed out in force. They didn't care if their state had voted for Bernie Sanders. They were going to counteract that voice and vote of the people with their superdelegate vote. And you know, we all know how that ended with a Bernie Sanders conversation with the Clintons at the convention and then his eventual speech to support her nomination.
Yeah, and this is such a deep and profound point. There were two populist candidacies happening simultaneously to crush the Bush-Clinton
yes.
cartel, Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. And the Republican Party, despite all the problems, I'm not a fan of the Republican Party in a lot of ways, the only populist movement that was able to survive is because the RNC didn't have superdelegates. Make no mistake, mm-hmm. if the RNC would have had superdelegates, you would have had Marco Rubio and I'm not against Marco, I actually like him, Jeb Bush, I'm not. And that is so interesting. The Democrat Party,
yeah.
they killed the Bernie Sanders uprising and they gave the nomination to Hillary Clinton. I have so many questions about this. You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly onto you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, and some of you may not even know about it. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, their premium MyPillows with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 today. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So just to kind of continue on this Bernie topic, why did we not see, or maybe you have seen, some rank and file Democrats be so outraged with how Bernie was basically robbed two times, 2020 also because they rigged it for Joe Biden as well? Do you think there has been base decay? Do you think that you, alongside of millions of others, are also leaving the Democrat Party because of these outrageous tactics?
Yeah, Charlie, you know, going back to kind of where we left things of that primary election in 2016 really being kind of the populist approach versus the elite, which Hillary Clinton embodies. I think that we saw a lot of that in 2020, and we're certainly seeing it yet again. But there were a lot of Bernie supporters who I know personally who left Bernie, did not vote for Hillary, and voted for Trump. One of the reasons why he was able to prevail over Hillary Clinton in 2016. There have been Dem exit movements that occurred ever since 2016, when a lot of people really learned, because they were more engaged in the process than they ever had been, about how undemocratic the Democratic Party actually is. Now, we're 8 years after that happened, and we look at now how the Democrat Party is even more undemocratic. We look at, you know, some of the states that when Bobby Kennedy was running as a Democrat in the primary to challenge Joe Biden, some states were like, yeah, no, we're not even going to let you be on the ballot. We're not even going to hold a primary because they favored the president of the United States. What to speak of anything like debates or anything else. So the Democrats have very intentionally exposed themselves for who they are. And I've been told by some people online and others to my face, like, oh, Tulsi, you had a typo on your book cover when you said leave the Democrat Party behind. It's the Democratic Party. But as you know well, I mean, I was intentional and made a point because the Democrat Party is not Democratic at all. It's something I experienced throughout my time in Congress. When I ran for president in 2020, my experience in that presidential primary, and I go into the different examples of the facade of a democracy that the Democratic Party creates, when in fact they are pulling the strings behind the scenes and maneuvering to control which candidates voters are exposed to or learn more about, and then either ignore, smear, or completely destroy other Democrat candidates that they don't want voters to hear from or to choose from because the Dem elite don't see them as quote unquote acceptable.
Yeah, this is an oligarchy. This is not a political party.
It is.
That description is one obviously you just agreed with. Can you elaborate on that? Because I think it's one of the most important realizations that the Democrat cartel is much closer to an oligarchy. Please.
It is. And you see the results of that in the total conform, comply, or face the consequences reality that the Democrats in Washington live under today. In my book, as I mentioned, I point out the difference between the Democrat elite versus Democrats. The Democrat elite are made up of this oligarchy. Who are they? They are elected leaders like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. They are leaders of big mainstream propaganda media. They are leaders of big tech social media companies, all of whom, and of course, the big globalist donors who are funding all of these efforts. All of these people are this cabal of the Democrat elite that make up this oligarchy that you're referring to. And control those who fall under them. They create, like I said, this facade of a democracy that they engage with Democrat voters on. But ultimately, it went from bad to so much worse in what we're seeing now, where are the so-called progressives who should have been, and I would have expected to have stood up against this endless blank check writing to fund a proxy war against Russia. Yes. Using Ukraine and the Ukrainian people's lives. That little sliver, you know, when there was some members of the progressives, the so-called progressive caucus that, you know, released this letter to Joe Biden saying, hey, we need you to take a leadership role in ending this war and walk us back from the brink of nuclear war. It wasn't out for even 24 hours before they were tripping all over themselves to say, oh, no, we didn't mean to release the letter. And, you know, some staffer released it with all of our signatures on it without us knowing about it. And I've been in those rooms. I've walked in those halls and I've gotten those phone calls from the White House. For me, it was the Obama White House. I know they got those calls from the Biden White House saying, how dare you?
Yes. How dare you vote against?
Yes. The message being, how dare you go against your president? How dare you cross the White House? Which for me, when I got that call from the Obama White House, and I'm sure as these members got that call from the Biden White House, it, as an American and as a soldier and as a veteran, to have the White House say, how dare you, not based on substance, not because, okay, like, hey, let's have a conversation about foreign policy and what are your concerns? It was, how dare you not follow the boss? How dare you not just go along with what the party has demanded of you? Unfortunately, in their case, in the so-called progressives' case, they buckled immediately, started making excuses and backed away from a message that's actually really, really important that has to do with peace and security and our ability to continue to live in a free and prosperous society, which is one of many examples of this conformist mindset and leadership that's coming from the Democrat elite today. And they have many levers of power that they use to try to control these members of Congress. And so far, what we're seeing is even those who traditionally may have been the ones who have stood up against these nonsensical, counterproductive wars are silent.
What levels of power do they have? I mean, blackmail, campaign contributions? What do they have to be able to control people against their wishes?
It's all of the above. And they look to people like me, who they make an example out of to show this is just a hint of what will happen to you if you dare to go against us, if you dare to challenge us. And so, yes, it is about money. It's about, and I've seen this happen in real time on the House floor, where threats will be made. Hey, if you don't vote the way we want you to vote, we are going to take away the $5-10 million that we set aside to help you with your reelection campaign. They will call the big donors and say, hey, withhold money from this Democrat in office. We don't want to support them. Or they'll find people to run against you. Or they'll talk to their friends in the mainstream media and say, hey, we're going to feed you some information to run a hit piece on this person and try to smear and undermine their character. They will use all the levers of power available to them, and even going so far as what we're seeing now. That's being used where they're weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after people who challenge them and challenge their power. It's very effective. And we know that it's effective because of the self-censorship that takes place. And the fact that we don't have a single Democrat in Congress, not a single Democrat in the House or the Senate, who's had the courage to stand up and say the most obvious objective truth, which is there are biological differences between men and women and boys and girls. At a basic level, any, a clear-headed American person, human, can know, yes, there are biological differences between boys and girls, period. That is an objective truth. The censorship and the fear that has been put in place for all these people shows how effective it is.
This is how a mafia works. This is not how an American political party operates.
They try to cover this up, what they're doing to undermine our freedom, undermine our democracy, create this culture of fear and cancellation. They do this while simultaneously saying that they're just trying to save democracy. They're trying to protect the American people from the dictator, quote unquote dictator Donald Trump, from being elected because he will destroy America. They are doing it right before our very eyes and trying to distract us away from that by fomenting fear and looking at the other direction in one that is based on insane arguments.
Yeah, I mean, for you saying that there's biological differences between men and women, that you're now a transphobe for saying such things. And they'll pick at your next book event. And it is a street gang that has turned into a political party. The book is very important. I encourage you guys to check it out. Tulsi Gabbard, For Love of Country. I want to challenge the audience. Go buy 5 copies and give it to a liberal in your life that might be not thrilled with what's happening. Give this book, have them read it, because look, I mean, you could send them a Charlie Kirk book, but that's not as persuasive. Tulsi Gabbard was a darling of the Democrat Party. She wore the uniform of the country, but she also wore the jersey of the Democrat Party. She ran for president. Nobody can speak with greater authority than Tulsi Gabbard about what is wrong with the modern Democrat Party. For Love of Country, leave the Democrat Party behind.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I want to go through some of the titles here of the chapters. The End of Democracy, Fading Light of Freedom. So I want to go to one of these recently. So in the last couple of weeks, we saw the FISA vote. And more Republicans than Democrats were skeptical of the FISA vote. Now, it wasn't perfect. There were plenty of Republicans that disappointed me, and we were very outspoken about it. But for whatever reason, the Democrat, as a percentage, the party, shockingly, was more in favor of the security state and the security apparatus, which I'm old enough to remember that used to be a core pillar of base Democrat politics in the George W. Bush era of how dare you spy on me, Patriot Act. What changed, Tulsi Gabbard?
Power and control. You're exactly right. I go back to 2002 when I was 21 years old and I first joined the Democratic Party. And that was one of the things that drew me to that party over the Republican Party, because I saw a party that celebrated free speech. I saw them working with the ACLU at the time to defend free speech, even speech that they didn't like. I saw a party that took seriously the need to defend and protect our civil liberties, and a party that fought for the little guy. Fast forward to where we are today. It is, I mean, you've given a foremost and very important example of how the party that I joined, the party of JFK, the party of Martin Luther King, is no longer recognizable today. And that vote was such a critical example of how far things have gone. They vote to give the executive branch, President Biden's administration, more power to conduct warrantless surveillance against fellow Americans. Why do they do this? Because they are currently using these powers against their political opponents. So they're so short-sighted into seeing this as advantageous for themselves, not even thinking through, well, you all are setting a very dangerous precedent here. What are you going to do if power shifts in the other direction? And now another administration may say, hey, you guys did this to us for four freaking years. Fair game. We're going to turn the tables around you and find an excuse to use these same authorities against you, the new political opposition. This is something that I have a hard time wrapping my head around, how short-sighted these people are to not understand this fundamental reality. And the same goes for the defense of free speech and why we should defend the right of free speech for everyone. You do such a great job, Charlie, in your conversations on college campuses and in public venues where you encourage people who may strongly disagree with you. Hey, tell me what your views are. And then, yes, of course, you can defeat their ideas, not by silencing them or shouting them down or not letting them in the building, but with a superior argument and superior ideas. That's the heart of a thriving marketplace of ideas in this country. And the fact that people who are pushing for and enacting censorship and telling us that the freedom of, the First Amendment, probably not really relevant today because we need to ban offensive speech or hate speech or misinformation or disinformation for the good of the people, because we know what's best for you more than you do. They don't see how dangerous that is in undermining our very identity of who we are as a country and what it means to be an American and live in a free society.
Yeah, it turns out for at least the oligarchs on the left that free speech was a means, not an end, that they were cool with free speech as long as it was challenging right-wing politics. But as soon as they got in power, they're like, actually, no, we don't believe in free speech. Shut everybody up. Your thoughts, Tulsi?
That's right. Yeah, no, it's exactly right. And we've seen over time how these are things that are not just discussed in hushed tones in, the dark back rooms of the Democratic National Committee. These are things that are now openly being propagated, and an entire generation of young people who, who haven't been really truly taught about our country's history, about the intent of our founding fathers. What does the Constitution really mean? They haven't been taught this in school. And so now, we see them on the college campuses and we see them having some kind of conversation where they are afraid of hearing speech that they find offensive and believe that it should be banned. which is the worst case scenario. And so we shouldn't be surprised then to see what's happening on our college campuses today with all of these protests happening and how so many of these college students are falling susceptible to this radical Islamist ideology that's being propagated by Islamist terrorist groups like Hamas, because they're not rooted in an ideology of fundamental freedom, and how critical it is and what that actually means in our everyday lives. And we have President Biden, who is terrified of being called an Islamophobe, and so therefore says nothing about the radical Islamist ideology that is infecting the minds of so many people. And he can't just take a stand for freedom and make that counter argument, again, as you do, about how our ideology of freedom in this country is far superior than that of the radical Islamist ideology that they want to lead to Islamic rule being enacted around the world.
In your book, you have a chapter that says they see God as the enemy. The Democrat Party is increasingly secular and hostile to the belief in the divine. Tell us how you describe it in both the book and in your journey these last couple of years, and make the case that the Democrat Party sees God as an enemy.
I go into the book and kind of a walk through history of how the Democrat elite in Washington have increasingly, as you said, become more secular, but even beyond that, are trying to erase God from every facet of our public lives. I was in Congress maybe barely 2 weeks in early 2013 when I got a call asking if I would be vice chair of the DNC. I literally said, well, what is a vice chair of the DNC? What do you really want from me? What do you want me to do here? I accepted because I thought, hey, this will be an opportunity for me to try to make a positive impact in the Democratic National Party. But part of that entailed going and traveling and doing different events across the country with the DNC. And what I experienced and witnessed in some cases was pretty chilling to me, where if someone stood up to offer a prayer to kick off the meeting, how certain officials from usually Washington would have kind of a physical negative reaction to prayer or to the mention of God. And I only saw that increase over time, where even any mention of God at the Democratic National Convention has all but been eliminated completely. We saw in the virtual convention of 2020 how even saying the Pledge of Allegiance and saying one nation under God was too much. It was a line too far. So they just said, one nation, silence. It takes us to why. Why are they so strongly rejecting God? Why are they so uncomfortable with the mention of God? Why are they trying to impose that on Americans across this country, especially targeting Christians? It's because they see themselves as God. They see themselves as the authority who should be the one who gets to tell the American people what is true and what is false. They try to tell us how to live our lives. They try to exert their control in every aspect of our lives, believing with the central bank digital currency, for example, that they should be able to control what we spend our money on, that they should be able to control what we're allowed to say and who we're allowed to say it to, what kind of information we are allowed to receive. And as we're seeing in this election, who we should be allowed to vote for. We don't have to look very far in the world's history to see the evil that comes from dictators in other parts of the world who believe that they are God and that they are therefore then justified in whatever actions they take. That's what's happening here right now with the Democrat elite. They are justifying their actions and undermining our freedom, exerting their control over us all, because they believe they are pursuing a righteous cause. They believe that they and they alone can save us, the American people, and that they know what's best for us so much so that they're willing to destroy our democracy and undermine our freedom to, quote unquote, save democracy and protect us from making what they believe would be the wrong choice in this election. And the wrong choice, obviously, being Donald Trump.
Well, that is a perfect segue. I want to you say leave the Democrat Party behind. Is it time to join the America First Donald Trump movement?
I have always been Team America, Charlie. I'm in a unique position right now where I know that I can have an impact on this election, which really is more than Democrats and Republicans. And I know you know this because you speak the truth and you call people out who deserve to be called out. This election really is about the elite versus the people. And it is about the Constitution and freedom and putting America first over those who put themselves or their political party's interests first, which is embodied by Joe Biden and the Democrat elite. So having walked the path that I've been through, I want to maximize the position that I am in now to be able to connect with those Democrats who are frustrated, to be able to connect with those independents who feel politically homeless, and to speak to them in a way that they may not be willing to hear from someone else in a different place who's had a different experience. So I've never been a party person, even for as long as I've been a Democrat, which pissed a lot of people off in the Democratic Party. I am America first. I am for love of country, doing all that I can to save our country and defend our freedom. And we'll do everything between now and November 5th to make sure that we do.
Check out Tulsi's book. What an important and powerful voice for our country. And she loves her country. I wish our leaders did. For love of country, leave the Democrat Party behind. So, Tulsi, I have to ask, everybody in the chat is just demanding an answer, and you can handle it diplomatically. Would you consider being Donald Trump's vice president?
I would. I would. If he asked me to serve alongside him, I would be honored to do so, to serve my country in that way and to bring the experience and, frankly, the strength and courage that comes from that experience to bring about the real transformational change that I know he seeks to bring about to our country's government and that our country actually needs, to take border security seriously, actually secure our border, to root out the corruption that is so deeply entrenched in so many of our government institutions, and bring about what is truly a government of, by, and for the people. Too many politicians in Washington, you know, they'll try to tweak around the edges and make it sound like they've done something to bring about some real change. But the rot is deep, and we need leaders of courage who will stand up to the pressures of the Washington establishment that comes from both parties to do what's right and make sure that our government is actually focused on serving the well-being of the American people, rather than seeing us as their minions who only exist to serve them and their interests.
Tulsi, in closing here, I think this is important. You have kind of done the Democrat circuit and now the conservative circuit, and you've had an opportunity to meet the leaders of the Democrat Party and the conservative movement. What do the, for example, you're speaking at our event in Detroit, we're super thrilled. What are the things in common, the differences, the things that have changed? Because I don't spend a lot of time around Democrat oligarchs. What impressions do you have kind of doing the more conservative America First circuit these last couple of years?
I'll give you the most important contrast that I've experienced, because it speaks to the call to action that I have in my book about how we as Americans need to step up to the plate and take action to save our country. Constantly and increasingly so over these last several years in the Democratic Party, I experienced these purity tests that they exact on everyone. It's like, okay, well, you know, tolerance is not enough. You have to go to acceptance. You have to go to celebration. You have to go and, like, if you're not out on a soapbox on the side of the street proclaiming, you know, the trans ideology or whatever the woke agenda is of the day, then you're just not good enough. It is quite an exclusive mentality of saying whether you measure up. Are you a good enough, loud enough, mad enough social justice warrior? During Trump's presidency, I even had people coming and complaining to me as a member of Congress. Every Tuesday in my office, they would show up, whether I was there or not, and complain that I wasn't protesting Donald Trump, that I wasn't angry enough, that I wasn't screaming and shouting enough, and all of this nonsense. And then you compare that to August of 2022. I was invited to speak at CPAC. I didn't know what to expect, but I said, yes, of course I will come and speak. The organizers, Matt and Mercedes, backstage, as I was about to go out front and start my speech, they're like, Tulsi, we don't know how our people are going to react to you. And I joked and I was like, you think they're going to throw rotten tomatoes or what? And they were honestly like, we want to walk out with you because we just don't know. They might. But what I experienced was the exact opposite of that. I delivered a message about my love of our country and our freedom and what we need to do as a country to make sure that we stop those who are destroying our country. And I was received with such warmth and positivity and optimism from people that I felt truly love our country. And that's been my experience in so many different parts of the country, different groups of people knowing like, hey, we may not agree on every issue or we have different ideas on how to solve problems, but I was welcomed because they know or at least got a glimpse of my heart and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's where I just encourage people as we head into this next election. And the closing message of my book is we have a responsibility as citizens of this country Yes. who cherish peace and freedom to step up and take action now, knowing that our founders didn't agree on everything either, but they came Yes. together around these fundamental principles of freedom. So know that you can make a difference with your vote, but more importantly, look at your phone. Look at how many people are in your phone. Make those calls to friends of yours who you maybe haven't talked to for a while. Yes. Maybe you have some political differences, but remind them about what's most important and listen. Extend that welcoming hand and we can save this country together. Thank you so much,
Beautiful.
Charlie.
Tulsi, God bless you. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.